The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Today's Gospel will also be the text for this morning's message. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off and protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Is there any children in the congregation? Anybody come forward for the children's message? You can sit right here in the front. So we've got Stacia, and Clara,
and Calvin.
Okay, good, very good. Any of you have a pet?
I have a pet.
You have a pet? What is it? Okay. Would you like to have another pet?
No.
No? You don't want any more pets? What about you, Stacia? Do you have a pet of any kind? Would you like to have a pet?
Yes?
Yes? Would you like to have one? Yeah. Would you like to have what? A puppy? Oh, if I gave you a brand new little puppy, how would you feel about that? Pretty happy? Excited? Would you tell anybody about your new puppy? Who would you tell? Your friends. Because you're happy, right? You got a new puppy. Okay. All right. So what happens sometimes when good things happen to us, when we get good gifts? Now, let me think of another example. Have any of you been to Disney World?
I've been to Disney World.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Disney World?
Disney World.
Would you like to go to Disney World? You think it would be fun? If I gave you tickets to Disney World, would that make you happy? Would you tell anybody? Your friends. You let your friends know about the good news. Yes. Let me think of one more thing here. What is your favorite ice cream?
Mine is strawberry.
Strawberry. What about you, Calvin? You have a favorite kind of ice cream?
Yeah.
What is it? Chocolate?
Chocolate.
You like chocolate? I love chocolate.
What about you, Stacey? You have a... You guys like chocolate. So, if you got a... If I gave you a gift certificate that you could get a year's supply of all the your favorite ice cream from Cold Stone Creamery, very fancy place, would that make you happy?
Yeah.
Huh? Who would you like to tell you? Who would you tell about it? Friends?
No, my cousin.
You tell your cousin about it. Maybe you might even have your cousin come along with you, right? You know, this is what we do when we get, when good things happen to us, we get good news, we tell our friends. Because it's such a great joy. That's what Jesus does and describes in today's reading from the Bible. He tells his disciples good news. He says, I am with you. I am here to bring God's kingdom here. You can count on me and my love all the time. And what do his disciples do with that good news? They tell everybody. They can't keep it to themselves. That's what we do with good news. That's what God wants us to do with the good news of his love for us and Jesus Christ, to tell people and rejoice. So, can you join me a little prayer this morning? Okay, why don't you guys stand up here? Let's make a little circle and hold hands. Okay, come on, Calvin. Come on. There you go. All right. Okay. What we're going to do is a little echo prayer. You repeat after me. Okay. Calvin's got his hands full there. Let us pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for the good news.
Thank you for sending us.
And give us the words and the joy to tell others about your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Very good. You guys pray well. Thank you for coming up here this morning. The political campaigns for the 2020 presidential election are heating up. The candidates have begun to hold their rallies, to fire up their bases, and to send them out on a mission with a message. In fact, there will be no successful campaign without a mission and a message. We see the same thing going on in today's gospel reading. Jesus expands his base from 12 disciples to 70 and then sends them out two by two on a mission with a message. They will get to proclaim in word and deed the very same message that Jesus did. And just what is the message of Jesus' life and mission? Over the course of my ministry, when I've asked people that question, I've gotten many different answers, and most of them sound nice, but frankly, they're wrong. And some of those answers have been, when summarizing the heart and core of Jesus' message, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, practice the golden rule, love God and neighbor, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, do peace and justice. And they all miss the point. Jesus' central message is quite simple. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all agree on it. And Jesus says it in today's gospel when he declares, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." Now, Matthew and Mark add a few more words onto that when they say, "The kingdom of God has come near to you, and repent and believe the good news." And what is the good news? That the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is
Good news that changes our lives. It is good news that wins our faith. And when we trust it, we get to live our lives in a new way. So you ask, well, what is that good news? Well, just watch Jesus and look at what he does and listen to what he says. Because he is the one who is bringing the kingdom of God near. In him, it is breaking into this world. And what do we see him do? He is the friend of sinners. He forgives those who don't deserve it. He loves and heals whom the world has rejected. He raises the lowly and brings down the mighty. He undoes the powers of evil and of Satan that threaten to destroy the goodness of God. And Jesus does it all for us. And that's good news. And the 70 we see in today's gospel get to continue proclaiming that same message. And Jesus sends them out on a mission. And he warns them it will not be easy. They are therefore to travel lightly. They will not accumulate the worldly signs of success. They will often be rejected. But they need not worry, because Jesus is the one who has sent them. And guess who has sent Jesus? God. And with that kind of divine authorization, they have nothing to fear. Well, Jesus must have been persuasive, because they go out two by two proclaiming, the kingdom of God has come near. And they continue the same work of Jesus, welcoming outcasts in the name of God and setting people free from the demons and powers of Satan. And they return to Jesus filled with joy, because they've just discovered how much fun it is, just how good it is to be sent on a mission like this. And you guessed it, we too have been sent on a mission. Sent on this mission, that to get to share that the good news that the kingdom has come near, that good news has drawn us together here this morning at our Savior. But such good news, as we saw to the girls this morning, and Calvin, when they got good news, you know, keep quiet about it. We cannot keep it to ourselves. Jesus sends us back out into the world and our daily lives and work to bring good news to other people. That is what it means to have a mission. In fact, that word mission literally means sent. God sends us into the bruised and broken places of life to announce, because of Jesus Christ, you, sometimes in spite of evidence to the contrary, are the very apple of God's eye. This morning I want to tell you a story from one of my favorite American preachers. His name is Will Willimon. And it illustrates so well what it means to be sent on a mission with a message of good news. The story. At the age of 10, I was minding my own business in Miss McDaniel's sixth grade class, dutifully copying words off the blackboard, when I got the call. Willimon, Mr. Harrelson says he wants to see you. Go to his office. Mr. Harrelson was our intimidating ancient principal. Shaking with trepidation, I trudged toward the principal's office. Passing an open door, a classmate would look out at me with pity, saying a prayer of thanksgiving that it was I who was summoned to the principal and not he. I felt like I was ascending the gallows. I went over in my mind all of the possible misunderstandings that could have led to this ominous summons. If I remember, I was only a distant witness to the rock that went through the gym window. I in no way was a perpetrator or even a passive conspirator. And then Mr. Harrelson spoke. Listen clearly. I do not intend to repeat myself. You go down Tyndall Avenue, 2 blocks, turn left, go 2 more blocks to number 15. I need a message delivered. You tell Jimmy Spain's mother, if he is not in school by this afternoon, I am reporting her to the police for truancy. Oh no, God help me! Jimmy Spain is the toughest thug in the school, a sixth grader who should have been in eighth grade. And what is truancy? Pondering these somber thoughts in my heart, I journeyed down Tyndall, bidding farewell to the safety of the schoolyard, turned left, walked 2 more blocks, marveling at the world that actually went on its business while we were doing our time in school. The last 2 blocks were the toughest, descending into a not all that nice part of town, unknown territory to me. And what was left of a sad neighborhood hidden behind the school. Number 15 was a small house with peeling paint and a disordered yard. Just the sort of house you'd expect Jimmy Spain to live in. Tough looking, small, and sinister. And there was a big blue Buick parked in front of the house. And as I approached the walk, a man emerged, letting the door slam behind him. He stepped off the porch and began adjusting his tie, putting on his coat. So I approached him with, "Oh, are you Mr. Spain, sir?" And just then, I remember that everybody at school had said that Jimmy was so mean because he didn't have a dad. The man looked down at me, pulled his tie on tight, and laughed. "Mr. Spain?" Continuing to snicker, he left me standing there, got into his car, and sped off. I had to wait until I was in eighth grade before someone whispered to me the dirty word for what Jimmy's mother did for a living. I stepped up on the rotten porch, knocked on the soiled screen door. My heart sank when it was opened by none other than Jimmy Spain, whose eyes were enlarged with surprise when he saw me. But before Jimmy could say anything, the door was pulled open more widely, and a woman in a faded blue terry cloth bathrobe looked down at me over Jimmy's shoulder. "What do you want?" she asked in a cold, threatening tone. I'm from the school. The principal sent me to..." "The principal? What does that old man want?"
He sent me
to say that that everybody at school misses Jimmy and wishes he were there today." "What?" she sneered, pulling Jimmy down to her toward her just a little bit. It's like a special day today, and everybody wants Jimmy there. I think that's what the principal said." Jimmy, the feared thug who could beat up any kid at Donaldson Elementary anytime he wanted, and indeed had on many occasions, peered out at me in wonderment. Suddenly, his tough thug, this tough thug, feared by all, looked small. Clutched by his mother's protective arm, his eyes were pleading, embarrassed, hanging on my every stammering word. "Will you tell that old man it's none of his business what I do with James? James? Do you want to go to that old school today or not?" And Jimmy looked at me and wordlessly nodded. Well, go get your stuff. And take that dollar off the dresser to buy lunch. I ain't got nothing here. So in a flash, he was away and back. And his mother stood there at the door, and after making an unimaginable gesture of giving Jimmy a peck on the cheek, stood there staring at us as we walked off the porch, down the walk, back toward Tyndall Avenue. As we walked back toward the school, we said not a word to one another. I had previously lacked the courage to speak to Jimmy the thug, and Jimmy had never had any reason, thank the Lord, to speak to me. Walking back to school that morning was certainly not the time to begin. We walked up the steps to the school, took a right, and wordlessly turned toward the principal's office. I let him in, handed him off to the principal's secretary, who received my ward. For the first time, Jimmy did not seem mean and threatening, but very small. And as the secretary led him toward the principal's office, Jimmy turned and looked at me with a look, I don't know, with maybe regret, maybe embarrassment, but it could also have been gratitude. That evening, when I narrated my day to my mother at supper, she said, "Oh, this is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. Sending a young child out in the middle of the day to fetch a truant student. Mr. Harrelson ought to have his head examined. Don't you ever allow anyone to put you in that position again, sending a child?" But I knew that my mother was wrong. That day was the best day of my whole time at Donaldson Elementary and preparation for the rest of my life. It was my first experience of a God who thinks nothing of commandeering old, ordinary folk and giving them outrageous assignments. That day, walking down Tyndall Avenue, was dress rehearsal for many later days when, in listening to a sermon or minding my own business, it was as if God had said to me, "You, go down Tyndall, 2 blocks, turn left. Go 2 more blocks, number 15. I need a message delivered." People of our Savior, can you believe it? Jesus has called us and sent us, of all people, on a mission. We have a message to deliver. The best news that all of the Jimmy Spains of this world, and you and me, could ever want to hear. Everybody at school, even God, misses you and wishes you were there today. And when that happens, the kingdom of God has come near. Amen.